Let's get to some world news this morning. South Korea is warning it could consider supplying weapons to Ukraine in response to North Korea allegedly dispatching troops to Russia. Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, this would be a significant escalation, wouldn't it?
Well, perhaps. You know, Bob, hello from Kharkiv. That word escalation is always a bit tricky. You know, I think we see this a lot. If we look at, you know, the situation with Israel and Gaza and Lebanon, but also here with Ukraine and Russia, escalation is a favorite word of the propagandist on any side of any war, and you know it's in the interest of those, you know, if you want to win, whenever your opponent does something that you don't like, to call that an escalation, you know, to say, oh, this guy is out of control, but we're the calm people. And so, and this has happened a lot to Ukraine, you know, when Ukraine made the incursion in August into Russia's Kursk region, that was strategic. That's because they don't want to lose. They don't want to die. They don't want to lose their freedom. They made that incursion. And then the Kremlin says this is an escalation. Or when something we really keenly feel here in Kharkiv, just 30 miles from Russia, you know, back in May, when at the end of May, when the White House, after, you know, many people pleading throughout the world, the White House agreed to let Ukraine use the HIMARS, very powerful, precise American weapons, to hit Russian missile launch points just over the border. You know, Putin said he warned that if that ever happened, that would be an escalation. And then it happened. And the Kremlin, you know, said this is an escalation. But what we saw as a result of that so-called escalation, Kharkiv became safer. And because the Russians couldn't so easily attack the city. They had to move their launch points further away. And now there's a, you know, now in Kharkiv, you have a few more seconds of notification. I felt that a lot, Bob, that, you know, every other trip I've had here, I was not here throughout the summer, but I spent a lot of time in Kharkiv. And almost every other time I've been to Kharkiv, missiles will hit glide bombs would hit before the air raid alarm could sound. And this is the first time I've been in Kharkiv where that doesn't happen. It still could happen, but it doesn't happen certainly the frequency that it was. And that's because of this so-called escalation of Washington allowing Ukraine to use the HIMARS in a very limited way, you know, that band of about 100 kilometers on Russian soil. And so I think the escalation, it's a tricky word, and it all depends on your perspective on which side do you want to win.
Good point about escalation and what it really means. Email from one of our listeners, Christy, writes, Bob and Joseph, how about a shout out to a group of Ukraine firefighters taking a break from their jobs in the war to participate in the Worlds of the Firefighter Combat Challenge held in Nashville this week. A tough competition with firefighters from all over the world. Many are setting new world records. Check out their website. It's so amazing that in spite of the war, we have various organizations, different groups from Ukraine participating in things like this in the United States, isn't it, Joseph?
Yeah, and I think that's where you really see the strengthening of connections beyond the political rhetoric. I mean, you know, right now you have the UN Secretary General in Russia. You know, again, as we mentioned yesterday, he refused to go to Zelensky's peace summit in Switzerland. He's there meeting with Putin. You have the Prime Minister of India, Narendra Modi, saying he wants peace in Ukraine, but meeting with Putin, saying that they're great friends. Even, by the way, as I mean, it was a sleepless night here of air raid alarms. The city of Sumy, the past 5 days, Sumy's between here and Kyiv. The Russians have been absolutely pounding it. Families have been killed, including teenage girls that were sleeping. And so while that's happening, the high-level leaders seem to be aloof from what's happening here in the ground and what Russia's doing. But the regular, you know, the hardworking people, the firefighters, the veterans, the good people around the world, there's such a strong connection. And even, Bob, as I walk around Kharkiv, almost anywhere I go in Kharkiv, I run into people I know or people who know people I know, Ukrainians and people from all over the world working for victory. And it's such an incredible, you know, you see like sort of the worker bees of freedom as I walk around the city. And as speaking of the firefighters, we, you know, those the our friends, the cultural forces, the 12 Ukrainian soldier musicians, they're down in Louisiana and Texas this week. And over the, a few days ago, they were playing in they were in Shreveport, and they played a there was a barbecue, sort of an annual barbecue for Shreveport cops and firefighters. And the Ukrainian musicians were playing there and building up such a great rapport with each other. And I the musician soldiers tell me that they also played the synagogue in Shreveport, and they said that was by far the best reception they've had during their month of touring the U.S. there at the synagogue in Shreveport. And so it is, I think it's the connections between, you know, hardworking, you know, goodwill people around the world that keep Ukrainians strong and keep this effort of resistance going.
Well, we're connected and we need to stay that way. Joseph, thank you. I appreciate all of the human interest stories that you bring us every day.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.